Made this place look so pretty this morning. And to the musos who came in early on Christmas morning, it's like once every 7 years that Christmas comes by on a Sunday morning, so it's quite special. And also, don't be in too much of a hurry to put your decorations away. The speed at which Christmas has come around these days, does it feel just like yesterday, which was Christmas? Which means tomorrow is going to be Christmas again. Oh, that's good news for the kids. But what a wonderful day. We're going to take up our morning offering as it is our Sunday. So if you're visiting with us, feel free to be blessed to give or not to give. You're blessed both ways. But just for the sake of the gospel in this local church, Sunday is a day we kind of celebrate our giving, whether we do it by electronically or whether we do it physically. It's always nice to have something in your pocket to bring, even if that is just symbolic of what your tithe is, as it is an opportunity for giving to this wonderful message. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. All right. So I'm going to share a message about Christmas. It's a novel thought. Jesus was revealed at Christmas. Amen? So I want to speak a little bit on that subject this morning, that Jesus was revealed at Christmas. And I'm going to be going quite quickly through a few scriptures. Just got to get all this wonderful technology up and running, and this will make it easy for us to see these passages around what today is all about. And I want to add, as I read through the gospel accounts around the birth of Jesus, there were 10 things that stood out to me about Jesus being revealed at Christmas. And the first one was that Jesus was revealed by an angel. In Luke 1:26 it says, in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God to a city of Galilee named Nazareth to a virgin betrothed to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David, and the virgin's name was Mary. So we see the first thing that happened was an angel got sent on high commission to go and make this announcement. The second thing was Jesus is revealed through a dream. And it says in Matthew 1 verse 19 that her husband Joseph, being just a man and unwilling to put her to shame, resolved to divorce her quietly. But as he considered these things, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, Joseph, son of David, do not fear to take Mary as your wife, for that which is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. So we see the second way that Jesus was revealed to the world was through this dream. And then thirdly, we see that Jesus was revealed through a sign. And Matthew 2 verse 1 says, now after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea, in the days of Herod the king, behold, wise men from the east came to Jerusalem, saying, where is he who has been born king of the Jews? For we saw his star when it rose and have come to worship him. So there was a sign, which, what's the sign for? It's to point to something. And in this case, it pointed to Jesus. The fourth thing we see that revealed Jesus was the scripture. And Matthew 2 verse 3, it says, when Herod and the king heard this, he was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him, assembling all the chief priests and the scribes of the people, he inquired of them where the Christ be born. They told him. Now how did they tell him? They had studied the scripture. In Bethlehem of Judea, for it is written by the prophet, O you, O Bethlehem, in the land of Judea, are by no means least among the rulers of Judea, for from you shall come a ruler who will shepherd my people Israel. And then we see a fifth sign that was central to Jesus being revealed at Christmas was through worship and offerings. In Matthew 2 verse 11, it says, "And going into the house, they saw the child with Mary and his mother, and they fell down and worshipped him. Then opening their treasures, they offered him gifts, gold, frankincense, and myrrh. Amazing that Father God knew his son would be born into quite a humble family who might not have been able to make provision for him. So the cattle on a thousand hills belongs to him and all the treasures. And he made sure that treasure got to Jesus. What do you think happened to this treasure? I don't think they put it in a dowry. They spent it. They had needs. And isn't it amazing that the money was in the fish's mouth? In this case, in the men from the east. Okay, the sixth way that Jesus was revealed at Christmas was through prophecy. In the same chapter, verse 14, "And he rose and took the child and his mother by night and departed to Egypt and remained there until the death of Herod. This was to fulfill what the Lord had spoken by the prophet, 'Out of Egypt I called my son.'" And then the seventh way that Jesus was revealed at Christmas was through preaching. It says in Matthew 3, 1, "In those days, John the Baptist, who foreshadowed the birth of Jesus, and came 6 months earlier to prepare the way, came preaching in the wilderness of Judea, 'Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. For this is he who was spoken of by the prophet Isaiah when he said, the voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord, make his path straight.'" So through preaching and declaration, Jesus was revealed to the world. And then the eighth way Jesus was revealed at Christmas was through the Holy Spirit. And it says in Luke 1 verse 39, "In those days Mary arose and went with haste into the hill country to a town of Judah. And she entered the house of Zechariah and greeted Elizabeth. And when Elizabeth heard the greeting of Mary, the baby leaped in her womb, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit." Up to this point, Elizabeth didn't know who was going to be born through Mary, but the Spirit of God knew who was going to be born through Mary, and the Spirit of God in her leaped for joy. Isn't that amazing? Whenever you talk about Jesus, the Holy Spirit arrives. Whenever you preach Jesus, the Holy Spirit says, "Oh, I'll go down to that place." You see, it's all about Him. It's all about Jesus. And Jesus is revealed through Christmas. We see then the ninth thing where Jesus is revealed is through revelation. In Luke 2 verse 25 it says, "And there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon. And this man was a righteous and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel. And the Holy Spirit was upon him. And he had been revealed to him," say revealed, "by the Holy Spirit, that he would not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. And he came in the Spirit into the temple, and when the parents..." See, this was just an ordinary day, another day for Simeon. He'd been coming faithfully week after week, year after year, believing in the word of that had been revealed to him that he would see the Christ. And then one day he goes and something in his spirit confirms this revelation. Verse 27, "And he came in the Spirit into the temple." Always good to come in the Spirit to the temple, although you are in the Spirit. Amen. "And when the parents brought in the child, Jesus, to do for him according to the custom of the law, he took him up in his arms and blessed God." And then finally, the tenth way that Jesus was revealed, and maybe the most significant, was that Jesus was revealed by climbing into the skin of a human baby. And it says in 1 John verse 10, "He," Jesus, "was in the world, and the world was made through him, yet the world did not know him. He came to the world, and his own people did not receive him. But to all who did receive him, who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God, who were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God." Verse 14, let's say it together. "And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we have seen His glory, the glory as the only Son from the Father, full of grace and truth." Amen. Thank you, Lord, for this wonderful day of Christmas. When Jesus made His grand entrance and to reveal Himself through many ways that were really passive, Mary never got up and said, I think tonight I'll have an angel appear to me. And Joseph didn't say, I think I'm going to have a dream. And the world didn't say, I think a baby's going to be born. These were God's initiatives in revealing the Savior to the world. And we have all this so beautifully encapsulated around this day that we've set aside, which is the 25th of December, maybe the day, maybe not the day, that's not the point. But this day that we set aside in our annual calendar to say, Christ a Savior, Emmanuel. Emmanuel, which means, in the Greek language, God with us. This wasn't man's idea. Man would have come up with a completely different idea. This was God's revealing. Christ, who was God Almighty, stepped into the limitations of a baby's body. And so doing, identified with fallen human humanity by not coming in sinful flesh, but coming conceived of the Holy Spirit to live a life that you and I should live, but could never live. To die a death for our sin that you and I should have died, but He died in our place. And then be resurrected from the dead because He was sinless, which we could never claim to do or achieve. And in so doing, provide salvation and provide forgiveness and justification for us all. Justification. Justified never sinned. Just if I'd lived a perfect life. Just if I'd lived a perfect... Just if you'd lived a perfect life. The moment you put your faith in Jesus, just if you had lived a perfect life. No longer dependent on what your performance of good works, good actions, right moral behavior. Those things do not come into the equation because what God wants is born again, new creation species, never existed before. My friend, because of what Jesus represented, you have a death certificate and a birth certificate. A death certificate to show that in Christ you are dead, but in Christ you have been made alive. Or rather, Christ has stepped into your body, your limitations, the same way Emmanuel was God with us in the flesh. Now, Emmanuel is in His body, His church, His people. Christ has come to not just stand outside of us, calling us to a high moral life. He's come to live in us, to completely revolutionize and transform us into the creation that He intended in the first place. And now we get to rule and reign in life. We get to live a new standard of life, a new quality of life, because Christ in us is the hope of glory. Can you say amen? Christ in us, Emmanuel. You see, when we stop and think about this baby part, this last point, number 10, which is really the point I want to stop at for a moment. When you stop and think about how big God is, that if traveling at the speed of light, or let's say they devised a craft, a rocket that could travel 100 times the speed of light, and they gave you a pill which enabled you to live for 1,000,000 years. And yet, and you went to sleep for 1,000,000 years and then woke up after traveling at the speed of light for 1,000, 100 times the speed of light, you would not even have got out of our galaxy, the Milky Way. You wouldn't even have got out of the Milky Way. I mean, are you hearing me this morning? You wouldn't have got out of the galaxy yet. The Milky Way. And the Milky Way is one of millions and millions of galaxies that we know about. That science has discovered. That it's just these millions, they've got knowledge to a certain point and then they don't know what goes on after that. Now they're talking about black dark matter and all these other, because they can't find enough theories to keep expanding the universe at the speed that it's expanding, that God stepped in to our limited creation. Emmanuel, God with us. Now, as wonderful as all these things are about revealing Christmas, let's not stop there. Let's say 2012 is just around the corner, and 2012 promises to bring some very exciting things with it. And of those things is maybe new technology. Oops, I beg your pardon. This whole thing went, okay. I thought there were a few points after that. No. But can you remember those 10 points? If you can't, I'll help you. Because what I want to leave with you this morning, this Christmas message, is as wonderful as all these 10 signs were about the life of Jesus being revealed at Christmas, is that Jesus continues to be revealed to you this coming year with ever increasing revelation. You see, you can't get any more of Jesus. But we can, as the Bible says, grow in our knowledge and understanding of the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. So we can grow, and in growing in our revelation of Him, we see Him more. We don't get more, but we experience Him more. We don't get more because we got all we can get and we can't get any more, but we can live in it and enjoy it more. So just come with me quickly through these, one at a time. 2012, Lord, increase angelic revelation in our lives. Come on now. We live between two realms, a spiritual and a physical realm. And we should be having angelic revelation, visitation. Angels are just there as ministering servants to the sons of God. Is this not on the outline? Okay. The next one was dreams. Come on. You can have daydreams as well. They're called visions. You can have a vision. In the same way Jesus said, the Son does nothing unless He sees His Father doing it. You can live in 2012 living out of vision and dream. Going to bed at night saying, Lord, speak to me in the quiet hours of the night through dream and in my day through vision. Thirdly, we can see signs. And we can trust God that signs are pointing us in the right direction. It's wonderful. All over the world, it seems that God is visiting His church with some out of the usual signs. But those in themselves, signs don't point to themselves. You don't stop at Highway Christian Community sign and have church there on Sunday. The sign is leading you somewhere. Whenever there's signs in the church, it's pointing towards what Jesus is wanting to do. Like that song said this morning, it's all about you. Every sign, whether it's a healing, whether it's just gold dust, whether it's a glory cloud, whether it's people falling under the presence of God in drunken stupor in the spirit. I didn't say stupid, I said stupor. Stupor in the spirit. Whatever a sign is, it's always Jesus, Jesus. It's pointing towards you. There's something there. And then what about the scripture? We to grow in our understanding of the scripture. Because as the scripture is opened up and revealed to us, we see more of Jesus. Jesus is revealed more. That's why in this place we endeavor and we take very serious the call to preach the undiluted gospel of Jesus Christ. Because if we're preaching a counterfeit gospel, Jesus doesn't manifest. clearly to people's minds. They can live in religion and still say Jesus. They can live in bondage and still say Jesus. They can live in shame and guilt and still say Jesus. But when the gospel, the true gospel is preached, people come free. And in that freedom, they experience more of the presence of Jesus. It's about His presence in our life. God didn't call you as a Christian to live by good principles. He's called you to live by the good presence of Jesus. That's what Christianity is all about. And then the fifth way we saw that Jesus revealed Himself at Christmas was through the worship and offerings that came to Him. Through the worship and offerings, we saw that they came following a sign. And when they got there, the Bible says they worshipped. You know that when we worship, there's a fragrance of the presence of Christ that comes. It's not just about nice songs. It's not just about the latest trendy songs. It's about songs that cause Jesus to be experienced. And even in our offering, our giving, whether that's time, treasure, or talent. But in this case, let's equate it to physical giving as it was in the case of Christmas. We are giving with a heart that says, Jesus, I want Your name to be blessed. I want this message to keep being proclaimed. I want this house to stay open. I want the doors every Christmas, my children's children, should you not come back before then, have a place where they can go and hear the gospel being preached. I'm giving for Jesus and His message and the gospel. And there's something in generosity that comes that reveals the fragrance of Jesus. Increasing in 2012, in the manifestation and the expression of who Jesus is. Through prophecy. That was the next one where Jesus was revealed in Christmas. Through prophecy. Prophets, rise up and declare the mysteries of Christ. Thank God for the prophetic ministry that is stirred up. You know, often I'll be standing just singing on a Sunday and it's just like really singing nice songs. And suddenly the prophetic word will come and you can feel the whole atmosphere lifts a gear. It's like prophets hold a key between at that portal between just being in the natural and being in the spiritual. And often it's just that prophetic word that opens up and breaks us into something fresh. But prophecy is a witness to Jesus. Prophecy always has to cause Him to be exalted and never the prophet. It's not to get a ministry. It's to give Him praise and glory and honor. That's what the gifts of the Spirit do. Jesus is revealed through prophecy. Jesus is revealed through preaching. A lot of people got better things to do than to sit under someone standing up for 30, 40, 50, 2 hours speaking from the Bible. But let me tell you, it is one of God's ordained ways of causing our minds to be renewed so we can walk in the fullness of who Christ is in us, the hope of glory. It is the key, it is the valve, as it were, that untaps the life of Christ in you. When your mind is being renewed through the ministry of God's Word that comes under the anointing, that exalts Jesus, that brings freedom, that the preaching is the avenue by which the gospel is perpetuated across the planet. It's not an outdated, outmoded way of communication. Hey, let's all just go to the internet, say. Let's just sit at home and flip through the internet. There's no community in that. There's no accountability, counsel, love, fellowship, body ministry operating there. Now, nothing wrong with it. And certainly for the next week when you don't see me at church, I might be doing that. But what I'm saying is, as a lifestyle, we need to come under the preaching of God's Word. The Holy Spirit was the next point. The next way Jesus was revealed at Christmas was the stirring and the moving of the Holy Spirit in Elizabeth. Say after me, Holy Spirit, this coming year, make Jesus more and more real in my life. I'll tell you, that prayer is answered right now. Because there's one prayer the Holy Spirit loves to answer. And that's a prayer to make Jesus real. Like I said, you can't get any more of Jesus. Jesus isn't distant. In fact, I want to get to that point, and it's taking too long. But the Holy Spirit wants to show you the treasure that's inside of you. Christ in you, the hope of glory. Jesus is not on some far off planet, and the Holy Spirit kind of puts the spotlight on him. No, Jesus, by his Spirit, has taken up residence inside of you, and the Holy Spirit wants you to come to a knowledge of the fullness of Christ in you. For in him all the fullness of the deity lives in bodily form, and you are complete in him. For you have been filled to the measure of all the fullness of God, the Bible says. All the fullness of God dwells in Christ, and Christ dwells in you. This is not some distant worshiping. This is some standing in the awe of the miracle that Christ is in physical bodies, holy temples that he made holy and declared holy and can't become unholified because of the completed, finished, holifying work that was done on the cross. And we come to believe that. Thank God. Second, last one. Through revelation. Simeon is in the temple. He's been going there faithfully, month after month, year after year, because it was revealed to him. You see, there's some things that you can be taught, and there's some things that are going to be revealed to you. Do you understand? You can sit in a classroom and go through the 101 and the this and that and the other. But the truths of the gospel have to come by revelation. Paul didn't just pray that you increase in knowledge. Yes, we must increase in knowledge, but increase in revelation. Revelation means that what's unknown by human ability to understand, what's unknown to cerebral, empirical, deductive reasoning, all the capabilities of what the brain can do, the brain that has been so idolized and put up there as a, well, if I don't see it, I don't believe it, into another realm which is far more real than the mental cognitive realm, which is the spiritual realm. But in that realm, it has to be revelation. It has to be by revelation. You come away going, aha! Oh! You see, that's how Jesus wants to reveal himself to you this coming year. For us, like me, who operate very comfortably in a cerebral level, Jesus wants to come and blow that out a bit and bring revelation from Spirit that you can't explain it, you can't taste it, you can't touch it, you can't smell it. But you taste it and you smell it and you feel it and it's more real than the person sitting next to you. That's Jesus. That's how Jesus wants to be in your life. Not just a historical figure that was revealed at Christmas. But the same revelation that came to Simeon comes to you and me. And then finally, I told you I was going to let you out here by 10 today. Isn't that a miracle? When you say grace today for lunch, you can say, we saw a miracle in church today. You'll have everybody's attention. They'll say, what? Say, Steve finished preaching at 10. The final way Jesus revealed himself in Christmas, and he reveals himself to us today, is Emmanuel, God with us. My prayer for you is in this coming year, you will know the full treasure of what it means that you were crucified with Christ and you got your death certificate. And you can show it to the enemy next time he reminds you who you were, or who you are, or who he thinks you're going to be. And you can show him, and if you want to know where your death certificate is, go read Romans 6. There's your death certificate. Then he gave you a new birth certificate, a new identity. If you want to know about that, go and read Corinthians 15, Ephesians 2, Hebrews. Gave you a new identity. And my prayer for you is that in this coming year, that Emmanuel, this awesome God who manifests himself in flesh, will more and more manifest himself in you. That you will know the breadth, the height, the depth of all the fullness of God in Christ. That you will not look at yourself. I will not look at you. You will not look at me the same. Because we will look at each other as those who are filled with Jesus himself. Not by what we do or what we don't do. Not by you did that. How can you say Jesus in you? You say look at that. I'll say look at this. It's my death certificate. But look at this. It's my identity document. And in my identity document it says every man is a new creation in Christ. The old is gone. The new has come. This is the miracle of the rebirth. This is the miracle of Christianity. No religion can offer you a new life. And Jesus says Emmanuel is in you. The hope of glory. Glory! I mean, that's good news. That's like awesome news, Lord. I want to go have lunch now, news, Lord. I like want to go open my presents now, Lord. I mean, this is good news. The Jesus who revealed himself at Christmas is going to reveal himself in this coming year. And by the end of this year, Jesus is going to be just exploding in your life, in this church, in this community, in this country, in this nation, and all the nations of the world. And he says, the works I've been doing, you will do, and even greater works, because I'm going to my Father. And here he is with us in his body, the church. Amen. Woo! Let's stand up and worship the Lord this morning. Father, we thank you for a glorious message, a glorious day, glorious freedom. And if you're standing here today, you maybe came as a visitor, you came as a friend, and you feel like God's stirring up in your heart, you don't know what it is, but you don't know if you are a new creation. You don't know if Christ has come to live in you. Yes, you've heard about him. Yes, you've been to church. But you don't know if you've been born again. Then we're going to pause our Christmas lunch for 1 minute together as believers and say the most wonderful gift the kingdom could have this morning is someone who says, Jesus, yes. And if that's you, and you want to say yes to his saving work in your life, I want to lead you in a prayer. I want you to pray it in your heart, sentence by sentence. Or maybe we can just all pray it out verbally, but you praying it for yourself. And we praying it just to encourage you. If you're saying, yes, I want this gift this morning, say, Father God, thank you for the gospel. Thank you that Jesus was revealed in this beautiful message. But it wasn't just for then. It's for now. Jesus, will you be my Lord? Will you be my Savior? Through your blood that you shed on the cross, my sins were forgiven. Through your resurrection from the dead, you able to send your spirit to live inside of me. I receive you now into my life. My death certificate was at the cross, and I receive my identity document of new life as a gift through grace by faith in Jesus' name. Just while every head's bowed, I want to ask you, because I'd like to pray a prayer of agreement. If you prayed that, it's every matter will be established by agreement in the kingdom. So if you prayed that and you said, that's me this morning, then I want to pray a prayer of agreement with you. I just want you to look up and make eye contact with me so I know who I'm praying for. If that was you, look up, make eye contact with me right now. And when I look in your direction, I'm going to start praying now, but when I look in your direction, I want you just to indicate by raising a hand so that I can know who I'm agreeing with right now. In Jesus' name. Thank you, ma'am. Anybody else over here? Father, in Jesus' name. If you're looking, just raise your hand. I know who I'm praying for. Anybody on the side of the church? Just raise your hand. Anybody on the side of the church? Thank you, ma'am. Anybody on the side of the church? Just raise your hand. Thank you, sir. Thank you, ma'am. Thank you, sir. Anybody on this side of the church? Oh, praise God. Heaven is rejoicing. You know, several folk this morning said, Lord, I want you. I want you. I want you. I want you. I want your gift that you have for me today. I want to grow in my knowledge of the goodness and grace of Jesus. So, Father, I pray of every person right now who raised their hands, and I pray, Spirit of God, would you just come and just envelop them. Just where they're standing, would you envelop them with your love and your forgiveness and your mercy and your grace, and cause this coming year to be the most awesome year in their lives as they come to know you and serve you and follow you. We just commit them to your grace now and to your hand that can build them up. In Jesus' wonderful name, and all God's people said, Amen. Have a wonderful Christmas. Enjoy your lunch. God bless. No service tonight, but a great service next Sunday morning, because there's no evening service next Sunday night, being New Year's Day. God bless. Have a good day.